Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
DP Radio presents Coast to Coast PPE, starring Malik Starchild and the Lady of Light. This is the show that shines a light on the darkness in your life. We expand your understanding of all things paranormal and all things extraordinary. Hosted by Drew Pillow.
Yeah,
yes,
I will absolutely agree with you. That intro was worthy of applause. I found myself clapping to that to myself. Oh my God, I'm tongue-tied in the beginning of the show. It's not a good sign. Yeah, that intro was so hot. I think I want to play it twice just in case anybody was just tardy, because that was hot and you know it. And check it out, I'm going to do it twice. Yeah, I'm rude. It's okay.
DP Radio presents Coast to Coast PPE, starring Malik Starchild and the Lady of Light. This is the show that shines a light on the darkness in your life. We expand your understanding of all things paranormal and all things extraordinary. Hosted by Drew Pillow.
Okay, who does that? Who really does that on the show? Me. So, you know. Now you know you're in a unique place. You know, some things happen that you don't expect, and it's not what you typically find when you search the internet for some, you know, intelligent content to feed your the hunger in between your ears. But tonight you are in our virtual studio, or actually our virtual studio audience, and this is Coast to Coast PPE. PPE, what does that mean? Well, we'll let you ask Malik Starchild himself as we bring him into the spotlight. Malik, what's up? What it do?
Hey, good evening. How you doing tonight?
Me, I'm fine. But
cool,
really,
cool.
You didn't ask me how I look, but I told you anyway. But I'm fine. You doing fine too, huh?
I'm doing good. Can't complain.
Groovy.
Basically just getting into, I guess, a relaxing moment now. I've been busy all day.
That's a good sign. Some people have nothing to do all day except sit around and create new intros for their shows. Anyway, everybody's fine, so the show is fine, right? Actually, it's not. It's only two-thirds of the way fine, because what show would be complete without the Lady of Light on deck? Lady of Light!
How you doing, Drew? Peace and blessings, y'all.
Woo-hoo. Hey, how you doing tonight?
I had to put my sunglasses on. Come in here shining, lighting up the place like that. As you can see, I'm a little depressed tonight, so you have to bear with me. I'm a little down, not quite really at all. Anyway, tonight we are going to have a show that has, you know, this show really kind of set, you know, we set a high mark. We set the bar really high, because what we attempt to do is introduce some really some semi-unconventional concepts in such a way that, you know, normal folk like me can walk away saying, I feel like I learned something, and it wasn't boring. So we have a big job, you know, on our hands, but we've managed to pull it off every time, and tonight will be no exception. Tonight we are going to be discussing, I want to get Malik's words himself. He said, facing the unknown, developing conscience over your fight or flight mechanics of the brain. And my translation was mind control, getting healthy control over fear and other negative instincts. So Maybe I took some liberties I shouldn't have, but maybe I didn't. We will ask Malik himself. Malik, first, can you tell us what in the world does PPE stand for?
PPE stands for Personal Paranormal Experiences. It's a group that we kind of created just basically out of the need of trying to connect with like-minded and spiritually awakening people, just to talk about some of our own personal experiences and try to get some answers or get clarity. And so far, we've been successful. I mean, the group currently is about 300 strong, and the anticipation every day is seeing what posts are up there and what insights and unique visions that people may have. It's something that I would love other people to join and check out and add to the I call it the palette. Their paintbrushes and just create some marvelous pictures, and hopefully what we're doing can spread across this universe and get the answers that we need and help heal people, because that's what we need at this moment in time.
You got that right. Some of these people need healing. Marvin Gaye started it back in the days, but his was sexual. But we need more healing than just that. There's a lot going on in the world, and we need so much healing, some people don't even know they need to be healed. So that's one of the purposes of the show, is to let you know just where you are. This is like a big universe map with a "you are here" X on it, and at the end of this show, you might have a better clue of where you are. Lady of Light, are you a member of the PPE?
Of course. Deactivated my Facebook account a while back ago, and Mr. Malik told me he started a group, and it's like, oh, well, that's stuff that I usually ramble to you on and on about over the phone, or when we see each other. It's like, yeah, I had this dream, or I had this strange thought, or this experience, and he's like, well, yeah, I started a group, so pop on in and start sharing your experiences. And sure enough, I see more like-minded people that have their own experiences and dreams and thoughts and experiences. And, it opened up a whole different, outlook in life. It's like, wow, there's so many people that have pretty much identical experiences. Like, I would talk to Malik about it. It's like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well, no, I read some stuff. It's like, well, everybody must be crazy.
Well, you got to count me in on that mix right there. We can almost call it it's almost like the concept of a 12-step group. You get people who understand, because if you take that and you go out in the normal world, and people look at you funny, like, hey, I don't know about all that. But when you get around other people who have similar experiences, then it's kind of reinforcing, and it's like a support group. That's what I meant to say. It's like a support group. And it's like a college or university, because you guys talk about everything in there. It kind of makes me feel it really small when I go in that group. And I typically know more than 98.6% of the people in the universe. I've been tested. But no, not anymore, because you go in there and they be PPP, PPE and all over the place. And it's something to behold. But it is it's a closed group, right? So we're talking about it, but people can't even get in it. So let's stop rubbing it in their faces.
Oh, that's not true. The group is available to anyone to join. It's closed in the sense that with Facebook settings, what we post in the group is only viewable by group members, but you can definitely type the name PPE into the search bar, and it will bring up personal paranormal experiences that you could just click to join, and one of our administrators is going to just add you. We only ask that you participate. We mind that some people are not comfortable with sharing their own personal experiences. They sit back and just study from everyone else. That's great, but we kind of do like to have a 100% participation in the group so that everybody can add to this puzzle, because, without you, there's no whole picture. So we kind of want the participation with this group.
Mm-hmm. There's
any
no
little
us.
Little count.
There's no any us without you.
Yeah, it's correct.
Right, because it takes U and S to make us. So just keeping that in mind, not trying to be clever. But anyway, tonight we are We want to first of all thank our listeners on blogtalkradio.com and however you are listening. If you choose to listen to us on your cellio, you can do so by dialing 424-258-9300, and you can put it on speakerphone so all your friends can listen. We prefer that everybody call on their own phone so we can rack up numbers, because numbers equals money. And so definitely tune in, listen, share with your friends, and if you have questions, we'll open up the phone lines and let you get a question in or a comment, and you may have an experience that you want to share. Sometimes it's cool to do that because nobody can see who you are. And I understand, because some of us have a face for radio. So tonight we're talking about, you mentioned that we want to get a conscience over our fight or flight instinct. I thought that was just like something that was inborn in humans, you know? But you're saying
just like, I mean, just like anything else, you know, you think that the human brain is supposed to be hardwired, you know, but it's not. It's very malleable. The brain itself can be manipulated, influenced. It can be shaped in any which way and form of somebody that may have a understanding of how it works. What I'm trying to convey to people with the, I guess you call it the flight or fight mechanisms, is we don't need to use it in our current situation, in our current society, as much as we did when our ancestors were, you know, trying to avoid predators or had to sleep out in the stars and without shelter. You know, you had to use that fight and flight to basically survive. It's more of a hindrance these days because we use it for the wrong reasons. You know, we use it when we have to encounter things that we are not comfortable with. When we get uncomfortable, you get this anxiety, or you get this fear, or you get this, you know, basically you get the normal emotions that you would have just being on a roller coaster ride or walking through an unknown back alley. You just automatically assume that there's danger around the corner. And, of course, that fight and flight kicks in, but we should not allow it to kick in when it comes to some other, you know, interactions in our lives in our current society.
So you mean to tell me that now that there's no dinosaurs, I don't really have to walk around with this big stick all the time ready to just jump off on something? It's a whole new ball game. Okay.
It's a whole new ball game.
So we should not just instinctively, I mean, you know, like I was thinking about it, like fight or flight, you know, when something happens that I don't like, you know, or something makes me uncomfortable, you know, I want to go into fight mode, which is defend myself, attack somebody else, or flight, you know, break up with my girlfriend or, unfriend people on Facebook. It's that. It's not literally punch a person in the face or run, but there's, you know, other ways that we fight or flee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's the alternative?
The alternative is educating yourself. I always throw out this little concept to people because they understand this concept. It's called your IQ. Your IQ is your measurement of your intelligence, basically how you are able to study and put one plus one and make that a two and use the logic. I try to tell people that logic is your best tool in this current society structure, because we're going to have a lot of things thrown at us. You know, a lot of things, a lot of concepts, a lot of ideologies, a lot of religion, a lot of point of views. And we should not allow things that are new to our awareness or perception to trigger the fight or flight. It should basically trigger dialogue. It should trigger unconditional love. It should basically allow an openness to yourself to be able to receive these messages and these people so that you can add to their awareness or they can add to yours. And I have so many topics or examples of what I have witnessed in my own personal life or what I've witnessed on Facebook or in my workplace or in current school situations or just walking down the street. We got a lot of division in humanity, and that division is no longer needed. There's no survival to use in division anymore. We currently are all one planet. We are understanding this through science. And so we don't need the division. We don't need the fight or flight. We need the new mechanisms that our body is adapting to.
So that's a little bit different because, you know, people, I think, or maybe we just, maybe we just have embraced it as truth that, you know, it's a human tendency to kill what we don't understand.
Yeah. Sadly enough, you know, we can look at the history of a lot of our departed ancestors and what they had to go through and forge a way for us to be where we're at today. A lot of wars, a lot of deaths, a lot of, you know, senseless killings, this over, typically religion, over land. And that current situation that happened back then, even though we can judge it as bad or some people judge it as good, there's no judgment needed. It was a cycle of time that humanity had to learn from. And we're not in a new cycle. And our new lessons don't have to repeat the old. And that's my message. We don't need to repeat the old. We don't need to hold on to the pain. We need to adapt to this new current energy.
Yeah. So we don't have to. I mean, so what does adaptation look like? I mean, you said unconditional love and, you know, expanding on our knowledge, embracing new truths and stuff. What does that look like? I mean, you know, give me a practical example, you know, in everyday life, because unconditional love is, that's a real big one. You know, some people don't even know how to practice it. Yeah, lady of light. Light it up, lady.
I'm waiting to jump in. I actually have a really good solution to that. But I want to first share with you my concept of the way we've been living. It's kind of not, it's not the way we should have been living. We are flesh and blood and bone. And the simplest things hurt us. You know, we get paper cuts, we bleed, we fall, we scrape our knee, we're very, not weak to say, but the way we've been living with violence and hate and wars is like our bodies weren't made for that. Our bodies fall apart from disease and ailments and stuff like that. So I think love is what we should be focusing on more, because that feels good. You know, that doesn't, you know, hurt me or it breaks me down or anything like that. The way we've been living with violence and things like that is not what our bodies were made for. And then our spirits alike. When our spirits are attacked, it doesn't feel good. And when we strengthen our awareness and our connection to the source, that strengthens us through and through. So many different ways to maybe start thinking anew is leaving old habits alone that our bodies weren't made for, our spirits weren't made for. And you can see where we've lived decades of what we've been producing and participating in that our bodies and our spirits and our minds were not designed or made for.
Well, okay, so that's a leap. That's a leap for somebody, you know, for a lot of people, like, because we got good at this. You know, I think if you do something long enough, you get okay with it. It's like, hey, you know, that's me. This is how I do. But somebody comes along and says, well, that's not right. And then, you know, right there, just even trying to introduce this concept kicks in the fight or flight syndrome with people. Like, how are you telling me I'm not right? You're not right. I'm right.
Yeah, I've used the wrong terminology, but what doesn't serve our body, our mind, our spirit, you know, things of that nature where you know there's a different way you can be and you don't have to hurt yourself or others. That's what I mean to say, not who's right or who's wrong. You're right about that.
No, you're right.
The concepts. I think concepts have been adapted over the years. Like certain words that meant one thing in the past may mean something new now. So I don't try to go on words alone. My actions, you know, I try to speak in volumes by what I do more than what I say. So I kind of know what energy goes into words and what energy is going to thought. So I kind of want to, like, I try to use the best selections of words when I'm talking to people who may not be at the exact same understanding that I'm at. And that gets hard because not only you have to work with other people's concepts, you may have to work with language barriers and people that may not speak your language proper as you do. So they lose a lot of the definition in that. So what we're trying to do is combine another ability that humanity has always had, and that ability, like we've been saying and repeating, is unconditional love. This definition is more so about recognizing the person in front of you as yourself, saying that if you're not doing harm to yourself, you should not want to do harm to others, saying that if you love yourself, you should love others, saying that just because you perceive yourself one way does not mean that the person that you're seeing in front of you could not have been an option for you or another part of who you are, another aspect of yourself. So you should embrace them and let them be able to live out their life while you are able to still live out yours. It's all about balance. It's all about just accepting the fact that reality does not warp itself around your thoughts alone. It's a collectiveness of humanity that creates what we are currently perceiving.
Woo, let me get the bomb out. Malik Starchild is on fire. You know, Malik, we've done a lot of shows together, and I have to give you mad props because a lot of people don't laugh with me. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't think I run people away, but I've done a lot of shows. No, just finding my space, my balance. But we have been together for a while, and I think that was just the most excited and passionate that I've heard you ever, ever. I think we should let you pick the topics from now on instead of, well, you always pick them. It's just something about tonight. I don't know. But you know what? We talk about resonating, right? Because, like, that's like the internal barometer of truth. Like, does something resonate with you? Is something inside of you saying that this sounds like it's probably right, even though I don't have, like, you know, scientific documentation in front of me? We got to use a different measure. And I think that what is going to be helpful is that the life and the world is moving into it's in a place of a lot of turmoil. And when people get squoze hard enough, then they start considering other options. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As long as everything's cool, they don't care what you're saying. But things start getting a little hairy, then it's like, wait a minute, what's the answers?
And there's
listen
no
to that Malik
tools.
Guy.
There's no tools, there's no training, there's no, you know, in my point of view, there's no other examples or role models in today's society that's being pushed out there for people to be able to use as their means of handling these type of situations. I can talk about TV and movies and the newspaper and the internet all day long. The images and the concepts and the energy it pushes is a lot of negativity and a lot of limiting, you know, ideas. The tools that I want people to work on is the only tools that is truly a tool. It's yourself, your body, it's your mind, it's your spirit. It's everything that's you that you can only change, because you can't change nothing else. You can be in a relationship for 20 years and you may have a spouse that will always leave the toilet stool up or the seat up or the seat down. You can talk to them for those 20 years and they will never, ever change the habit. The point to saying that is there's things in life that you just can't change, and that means you can't change other people. You can only change you. And so,
and even if,
I would like
even to, if they do change, it's only because they chose to.
Exactly.
You didn't make them.
Exactly.
And, you know,
and
just to connect the dots. I was going to say, to connect the dots with what you're saying, it's like you talk about unconditional love, and you know that's what Jesus said. He said turn the other cheek. He was like, don't become violent, you know, be loving on top of everything. And then there was something else, but you were still talking, so let me shut up.
Oh no, you're on point. And I was going to bring up the religion factor because that's important too. But I was just saying that not just the fact that somebody may change because they basically choose to change, but also out of respect for the other person. That's the unconditional love part. You may, by example, live a certain life that does not impact people in a negative way. It's going to be noticed. It's not going to go unnoticed at all. People are going to see a difference in you compared to the other people that they have been around their whole life. And they may gravitate towards you because they see this openness. And you get this type of, you know, reaction from some people that look at you and go, there's something about you. you know, or they just start spilling their guts to you about their life out of the blue, and they may not know you, but they see something. And I want the world to understand that these abilities, they're not, you know, sci-fi, they're not, you know, X-Men, however the movie wants to say that is the genetic coding that's just been changed and new humans are being born. This has always been with us. The only difference is that the current energy that the Earth itself is resonating is allowing us to remember this. It's giving us back our memories. And I just, you know, as a witness to it, I just want to share it with the world. And like what Lady Light was saying, you know, unconditional love is the true key. It's a concept. It's a word. It's all those things that's not real. But in the essence of it, when you hear it and when you understand it, you can actually do it. And that's the true thing about it, is the fact that you take these actions and you do it yourself.
That's right. That's right. We're coming up on the 30-minute mark in another few minutes. I remember what I wanted to say is that you said words, and lately people have been telling me about how important word selection is, because with words, the words that we use reinforces beliefs. So if we use a lot of negative words, then we wonder why we're stuck in a negative mind state. And it's like, nobody ever told me that, but you know what they did? They told me, they gave me a clue growing up. They said words hit hard as a fist, but that was, they were talking about raising children. But you know what? We still have to raise our inner children because they've been led astray, I guess. I don't know. They're talking a lot, though.
Led astray, abused. Yes, the inner child is very important to this concept of unconditional love, because, again, children are not born to hate. I mean, you're not going to put two babies together and they're going to use their Lego blocks to attack each other. They are just exploring the world. That inner child of exploration is still within every one of us. So if we get stuck in a artificial design of society that tells us, you know, who we are, label us, and give us definition, that is not our own spiritual guides, not our own spiritual alignments. So it causes a backlash of anxieties, a backlash of just poor understanding of our own existence. And just imagine going all these years of knowing one thing and having it snatched from you, then going all these additional years of being almost in amnesia to go into a new awakening. It's very scary, because of people waking up today with concepts that they've never, ever been told before or ever experienced before. So they're looking for answers.
Yeah. I was talking to someone today, and they said that embracing this new concept of life, it's hard to embrace because we've been trained to believe that as adults, we got to know everything. So it's like saying, close your eyes and let go of the wheel of the car that you're driving. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. That's too scary. I'm going to keep my eyes open and keep driving. Even though I see the cliff coming ahead, I would rather be driving off the cliff than close my eyes and trust you to lead me somewhere better. It's a tight fight. I like the way Lady of Light kind of broke it down into some really simple application. Like, okay, give me some examples of how we can, you know, embrace the concept of unconditional love, you know, because, you know, in this society, it's cool to not like people. We got haters, proud haters. You know, everything is divided, the Republicans and the Demopublicans, and it's just all we've been trained, even sports teams. I hate Pittsburgh. We're taught to hate. It's cool to hate. So how do we now become loving without condition? I mean, what are some things that I can go home and do tonight, Lady of Light?
It pretty much goes back to self-assessment. That when you catch yourself maybe critiquing another person's clothing or behavior or something like that, you have to stop yourself right there. Because you're pretty much putting too much energy in assessing another situation that doesn't have anything to do with you. You don't know that person's past. You don't know that person's plight or journey. You don't know why that person's with this person or why did that person talk and act that way. You don't know what brought them to the point where they are now. And that's someone looking at you and thinking the same thing about you. You know, they don't know why you are the way you are. They have no idea on what it took to make you who you are at that very moment. So when you start having those thoughts and hate or judging, oh, this person got a new car, I can't stand it, or why don't I have this type of life, you know, be appreciative of what you have at that very moment in time, because the spectrum can go either way. It can be a hell of a lot worse or a lot better. But just appreciate where you are. And when you are having those moments in time, those spells, you need to release them because they're not for your highest good. And then that person that you're sending that negative emotions towards is not for their highest good. You're pretty much sending them negative emotions. So I would just suggest you learn how to channel that. As soon as you catch yourself in that type of thought and type of mindset, just shut it down and just bless yourself. Be appreciative and thankful for what you have and learn how to bless another person, because it's not going to hurt you at all.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. This is freaky. This is one of the benefits of – this is one of the benefits of – taking the steps to wake up, is that things start happening that are just unexplainable. Like, I was just talking to, people have been talking to me about it today and yesterday, like the power of words. And I guess they've been talking to me and I just never heard it, but suddenly I heard it yesterday and today, and then I hear it again tonight. Then, the negativity, you know, stop the negativity for whatever reason, you know, just because it's negative. I mean, is that what you represent? Are you representing negativity? Then every time you catch yourself doing it, try to stop it. It's almost as addictive as eating meat. Try to stop eating meat. I'm not against meat, but I'm just saying some of these things are very difficult to change. Malik, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there he is. Yeah, Malik is back.
I was using a separate phone, and that phone just kind of died on us, so I had to change phones.
So Malik is calling from the multiverse, several different phone lines at once, and that is a good time for us to drop a hot commercial. Check this out. We'll be right back.
DP Radio.
You are listening to DP Radio Network.
Right now.
Home of the hottest spiritual shows on the net, on the web, on the planet.
Anywhere.
Also, the greatest interviews, the hottest music, and, of course, the liveliest conversations.
No doubt.
Join
us.
Hosts. Drew Pillow,
me.
Sam Rucker,
mm-hmm.
D. McGee,
that's right.
Cairo Queen,
woo.
DJ Loch Ness,
Lockie.
And the best audience on the planet, starring you.
You, baby.
Tonight's show is brought to you by the Organization for Spiritually Underdeveloped Adults. If you're an adult and your spirituality is based on something that you learned in Sunday school at the age of 6, we think that you might want to take a moment to explore some new options and learn a little more. Your life is on the line. This is DP Radio.
And we are back, and we appreciate you being here with us in the virtual studio. I want to let you know we're broadcasting live from the dead center of the Milky Way. And if you don't believe me, prove that I'm lying. And we appreciate our listeners and the people that are sending me really weird text messages on Facebook. Thank you. Shout out to you. And I just got a bulletin from Malik Starchild that tonight's show is only an hour. Oh, boo. Go, Malik. It's only an hour.
Talk fast. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just messing with you, man. I knew it was only an hour. Fans, I'm sorry. It's only an hour. So let's get focused. So it's very difficult to do the transition, or is it?
It's not difficult. People basically chooses their emotions. So if explaining that is, if you're, just say that you're basically angry with somebody because of what they've done to you, or what you perceive that they've done to you was something that was displeasing or untrustworthy, it's how you choose to respond, what emotions you accept of yourself, which causes that conflict. They have not really done anything to your emotions. They may have changed something or that impacted you in some way, but it's the emotions that you choose. So you have the power over yourself. That's why you have to live by example. Because if you are able to just, in a sense, take that energy and transfer into something more positive, people will notice. People won't want to hurt you or argue with you if you're not feeding into their insecurities or feeding into their misery, because misery loves company. That statement rings true. And a lot of people can't sit back and just say, whoa, I've done that. I'll be miserable, and I want someone else to be miserable along with me. Because it's a lonely feeling, and you need someone else there to share that experience just to justify your need to have that feeling. The way that I want to convey this message, again, is to have people use examples in their life. Look at the things that they may fear. If you are a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew, if you're straight, if you're gay, if you're young, if you're old, if you're black, if you're white, you have your own perception on those opposites of yourself. What of those opposites scare you? What of those opposites create that fight or flight in you? And you have to figure it out for yourself. I try to tell people the best way to get any true answers about someone else is to go directly to that person and talk to them. Talk to them with open dialogue. Talk to them with open honesty. I mean, have some emotion in it. I mean, be angry in it if that helps you. But don't allow it to change the purpose of why you created that conversation. Because you want to learn something. You want to figure something out about yourself. I listen to a lot of conscious people in the communities. And for all the consciousness that they proclaim to have, because, again, I call that ego, they have so much words that I consider to be so negative and not beneficial to humanity. There's a lot of conscious groups out there that are strictly for being black or Nubian. There's a lot of conscious groups out there that are strictly for being, you know, conscious. You know, they just look at the roots of Africa. They don't see the true connections to the entire planet. I try to break down the science to one person. I try to say Africa was a centralized location on the planet at one point in time, but then in another point in time, there was another landmass that was the centralized location of the planet. It changes. Humans move all over this earth. Not one location deserves to be considered better or more important than the next. It's all one planet. This planet itself could be considered the motherland for the entire universe. Our consciousness could be feeding life for other planets. We don't know the full story. We don't know the huge picture. So we shouldn't limit our thoughts to our ego, what feeds us, what makes us feel good. We should leave ourselves open to understanding new concepts or redefining or re-examining our current adopted concepts. And that leads to more unconditional love, because then you're being true to yourself.
So let me see if I got you, because I get you, and I just want to make sure that I get you right. So when we do things that we call ourselves, we call a demonstration of pride, sometimes what we're doing is we are feeding the collective consciousness of divisiveness, division, and separation, and not unity. So when I say, hey, I'm black and I'm proud, you know, then that's like I'm separating myself from everybody that's not black. And so then now it's like the people that aren't black aren't as good as me, because I'm, you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to make myself good, but at the same time, I'm kind of, the implication that I'm cutting other people down or make, they're not as good. And it's like it's subtly feeding the monster, the negativity, the giant universal sleeping pill that we seem to have taken on this planet. Does that make sense?
Yes, you hit it right on the head. That's it. We are feeding the ego. The idea that we sit back and we separate ourselves. And again, we have a lot of things that happened in the past that will allow a person to lose trust in anybody or in a certain group of people. But the fact that you're generalizing actions of the past on an entire race of a people is not logical. Because logic would tell you that history has shown that humanity itself have overcome and surpassed those issues together. It wasn't one man or one woman that made change. It was a collectiveness. It was the fact that a lot of those other races said no. A lot of those races that were being enslaved said no. They had to come together to stop that reality, that perception that was controlling that what I consider to be the slave trade, or the controlling females not having rights, or stopping the control of gays not being accepted as having the same rights and equality as others. Equality means equality. Regardless of how you perceive someone different than yourself, they have the same exact rights as you under the eye of being created by the same God that you believe in. And if you don't believe in a God, then that makes it even better, because you shouldn't have any sort of prejudices.
That even better. But if you do believe in God,
you shouldn't have any prejudices at that point.
Of course. I mean, but, you know, if you believe in God, you shouldn't have any prejudices either, like if you go by the letter. But if you do believe in God, this, you know, here's a cool thing to try. Check it out. You can say there's God, there's the devil. God, we'll say he's for positive, right? And we'll say the devil's negative. Well, every time you find yourself doing something negative, say, hey, this is for the devil, who I'm working for.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, well, however you need to word it so that you can internalize this and make this move, it really only benefits you, but it benefits everybody. Imagine a world where everybody thinks, bro, you look nice today. Oh, my God, they said that 50 times while I was just walking to my car. You know, I mean, I get that all the time because, you know, I look nice today. But, you know, everybody needs to feel good like that. Lady of Light, I mean, we know that you look nice today, and you do all the time. I like your Facebook picture. You're so cute with your glasses and stuff. But what else?
Librarian.
Huh?
My librarian glasses reading all the time.
All right, I'm grateful for you doing the reading because I am not a reader, but I can talk to you and I can learn if I'm willing to be open to new information, and that's one of our purposes here is to share the knowledge. Some people are allergic to libraries, but you could just listen and learn.
All right, so, I'm gonna take you off the deep end real fast. I know we only got a few minutes left, but
Sharika, if you are able to want to stretch it out longer, we can. I'm okay with that. I can reschedule something else.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll see. I'm free.
Well, we'll go
free.
In the back room on the next commercial, and we can talk about it while
okay.
The commercial is playing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go deep. Let's go deep. I got on my go deep shoes.
All right, hold on. So here's my disclaimer. I don't sit here and portray myself that I don't have negative thoughts, that things don't cross my mind, that, you know, I have jealous tendencies or things like that. I'm still working on me. You know, Lady of Light's not perfect. I'm still working on me. So I'm just sharing what works for me. But in another place other than our awake state, these attacks or these negative emotions carry through. I'm a dreamer. I have lucid dreams, astral travels, whatever you want to call them. And I have noticed that if you don't confront certain behaviors in your awake state, they carry through to your dream state. And recently I shared with, you know, Emily Starchild that I had a dream that I have these intruders, you know, come into my house. And in my awake state, you know, that applies if someone's, you know, trying to rob me or, you know, come to do harm to me. Because I've been programmed that anytime someone enters your home uninvited, they come do some wrong to you. So in my dream state, I wake up and I see these flashlights and they're, you know, emerging from my hallway. They're coming up the stairs and automatically I have this fight or flight, you know, reflex. You know, I want to go grab my gun. I want to make sure these people don't harm me or my children, but in the back of my mind, we have such a small awareness of what could be, like what can be right around the corner. You know, we have this fear of the unknown. Like, I don't want to apply for this new job because I'm not sure how it's going to be, or I don't want to move to a new state because I don't know about it. And I find myself doing that in my sleep, that here's this unknown entity or whatever it is, and I'm just so shaken and afraid that I don't want to know what it is. I shake myself awake. And people do that in their day-to-day lives, that if it's just something they don't know about, it's new to them, it's a different concept, it's a different traveling, exploration, they'll shut it down before they do something mm-hmm. new. And your sleep state as well. It's like a training program for you to learn how to confront these emotions within yourself and get through them.
Now, that you did go deep, because I have 107 questions now. Why is it beneficial? So first of all, we can control our dreams. And why is that beneficial to us?
Well, because you are the creator. You create your reality of the day that we live now. You know, you decided what you wanted to wear and eat this morning and decided what you was going to do. And the same thing reflects to your sleep time. I mean, we sleep 8 to 6 hours of the day, and our mind is what controls our motor skills, our functioning, all that. So, of course, when we lay down and go to sleep, these motors are still moving. And to take control over that sleep state as well and make it work for you in your day life, and then have your day life apply and work for you in your sleep life. They just reflect each other.
So
I can say this too.
Go ahead.
Let me just throw this in there, because a lot of people can visualize this, what we're saying, because there's a very popular movie called The Matrix that kind of talked about this. A lot of the training that Trinity used to fly the helicopter, or the training that Neil had for fighting, it was basically in a dream state, but they call it the Matrix. They call it where they plug you into I guess they call it the construct. And that construct, they can create whatever they want, and they can download information to you so that in your awake state, you're able to perform those actions, but that much quicker, because you're able to receive it under the subconscious level so that it can express itself fully, instead of you consciously trying to adapt it and process it. So it's the same concept. Dreams is just like the Matrix, almost, in the sense that you can download the information. And these dreams, or these travels that we have, are our brain trying to figure out or problem solve a lot of our awake anxieties or our buried emotions and unresolved issues. It's doing that every night.
DP Radio bringing you another public.
Sorry, I don't know who did that.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
So we have the opportunity to take these dreams, and we can practice what they call lucid dreaming, that we can become fully aware of our sleep state while we're in our sleep state, and we can make decisions. We can be aware that we are dreaming, and we don't have to just respond to we call the core emotions of the fight and flight, and just respond to our chemistry. But we can override it and be able to confront these things. And I would tell people, in your dream state, you don't have to have fear for anything. You can fly. You can breathe underwater. You can fight demons. You can basically meet people who passed away. You don't have to have fear. So the idea that you are fearing something in your dream, or you have recurring nightmares, night terrors, you have to find a way to confront whatever you have buried within your psyche, because that's what's triggering these dreams. These dreams are trying to get you to heal from that. And being able to practice lucid dreaming, to become fully aware of the dream, so you don't just watch it like a movie, but you can interact with it, you'll be that much better off in getting to the root of things.
Wow. Yeah, this is deep. And not only is it deep, but it's a lot to digest in one show. I think you touched on a whole lot of and it's almost like this is like five material for about five shows. And, you know, it's okay, because this is planting a seed, and if you want to go and build on this and get more information, you know, that's why they made libraries on the internet, not just to look at Facebook and the Hooty Who movies. So this is planting the seeds, and now it's on you, you know. And what I got from that, because this is what I do, it's just, you know what, this is what I was taught in school. It's like it's called interpretation. I want to make sure that I'm getting the correct interpretation. And it's like your brain, you know, I kind of grew up thinking that sleep was life, and daytime is life. Sleep is something else. The brain's turned off and everything's resting, but it's really like it's all life. You know, even at night when you're asleep, your brain is still on and it's part of life and it's part of what shapes you, and you can actually, it's not out of your control. You can take steps to learn how to utilize it, and when you are like in sync with your daytime conscious thinking and efforts and your nighttime, you know, focus on your dreams, like, you know, everything is positive and in a loving intention, then maybe it all just reinforces, you know, us on our path.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A lot of times when you have a day that's filled with a lot of negativity, or just a week or a month, you find yourself having a lot of these lower vibration dreams because they both echo each other. So lots of times when, let's say you've had a marvelous day or just this awesome week, and you fall asleep and you're like, you know what, I had the best dream last night. It's like they echo each other. You see vibrant, brilliant colors like you're dreaming in HD. Like this dream that you've never had before is because it's all accumulated and you are able to take that to your dream state and apply it there. But if you're frequently having recurring nightmares, recurring dreams that are unsettling, you know, myself included, I got to figure out what that is, you know,
mm-hmm.
and try to plan it, you know, the next time I go to sleep, I might not have to always peek around the corner and be afraid of what's down there, because that's still something I'm learning. So they echo each other day and night.
So I definitely want to thank you guys for making me, you know, getting me in touch with what Ginger Rogers had to do, you know, like to Fred Astaire. I mean, you take really deep, complex concepts, and I'm learning on the fly, and I try to really simplify it, but I think it's best that people just really listen to what's being said. I'm on the For Dummies version of this, but this is freedom from the life of limits and of negativity and unhappiness, and it's freedom for all of us, and these are the steps to move you in the right direction. And it's also freedom from those spooky dreams, because it all plays together, low vibration, high vibration. Let's lift it up. Let's rise up. I got a quick commercial. We're going to go in the back room. I want a quick shout-out to Trisha Asher. I want to send a shout-out to Miss Julia Whetstone. And I don't know these people, but I want to say hi to them anyway. And they're chatting with me on Facebook a little bit. And I want to send a shout out to the listeners. I see you looking. I see you listening. And I see the question mark on your face. And you know what? That's why I try and rephrase it, you know, because I have the question mark on my face too. I'm trying to keep up too. So it's okay to not know, but that's the not knowing is the beginning of learning. So, hey, let's learn together, y'all. Got this quick commercial, and we will be right back.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, it's about that time. Right now, we want to just drop a little public service announcement on you. We want to let you know that it's a really good thing to get out there and support your local homeless shelter, your food pantry, your humane society. Get out there and do something good for the people, man, because the people is us. And if we don't take care of each other, then who's going to take care of us? Brought to you by Drew Pillow Radio.
DP Radio, bringing you another public service announcement from the people who believe that the children are our future. So if you're parenting a child, do more than just spend money with them. Spend a little bit of time with them, because the children are our future. This is DP Radio.
Yeah. Man, I really like my public service announcement. I'm so public-minded. I'm so civic-oriented. Oh, I'm so positive. I'm positive that we're going to continue this show for another a little bit of extra time. So for those who got here late, check this out. We've got a bonus for you. We're going to talk about a little more, try to get a little more clarity. And I tell you just how much of a greenhorn I am, because I want you to know that if this is a journey that you've decided to take, you are not alone. Because it does feel overwhelming when you think about it. It's like, God, I know nothing, and everybody else knows everything. No, that's not true. There's a lot of people that are starting the awakening process and are starting at square two. We don't start at one. And it is a little bit tripped out, to say the least. So we're doing this together. If you got questions, I got more questions than you, but it's all right. So, Lady of Light, I don't know who talked last, but whoever talked last, the other person say something, because I'm going to put myself on mute for a minute.
All right, Lady of Light, you got the floor.
Okay, well, back on the dream echoing real life, I have a way that I've learned to deal with these things, I've actually started to enjoy my nightmares. You know, I'm not sadistic by the least or say I'm crazy, but a lot of times when I wake up from these nightmares and I'm shaking and I'm sweating and I don't understand what happened, that then moves me to want to understand what happened, to look at the minor details of what happened, that what is this trying to tell me, that my dream had to use a knee-jerk reaction to get my attention. Like, a lot of times people walk away from car accidents and say, you know, I just faced death, and let me turn my life around, or let me say I'm sorry, or let me say I love you to someone. The dreams can use that same mechanism to make you take a harsh look at something, an area in your life that you need to focus on and change, or, you know, learn how to deal with it in a different manner. So these bad dreams don't always have to be bad if you take time to look at it and don't just brush it off and forget about it and say, "Ooh, I'm happy I'm awake from that," because, you know, lo and behold, it might happen again. So start.
Well, what about the people? What about the people that don't even have dreams? Because for a long time I was like, I don't dream, but everybody dreams. So how do I go from not even knowing if I'm dreaming or not to being able to get all the way to where I'm actually analyzing the dreams? You know, like, what about people that don't even know if they're dreaming or not? How do we find out? Is there a dream test we can take?
Well, there's some practices. It's called taking notes. Basically, a lot of us have a different way of how we perceive our own memories. Frontal lobe, however you want to consider it, the short-term, long-term memories. And that happens with dreams as well. The moment you wake up, you will honestly, some people honestly will feel their dreams slipping away, those memories slipping away. It's a practice of the brain, or the consciousness, to recall back those memories. And if you're not remembering your dreams at all, because like you said, you're correct, everybody dreams. Animals dream. We may even say insects dream, or the fact that even if a fish does not sleep and always swims, they have put electrodes on their brain and realize that they do have sleep modes. So everything on this planet dreams or sleeps. So the idea of recalling these dreams is a practice. You have to first be aware of the fact that you're dreaming. And then from there, you have to set up a dream diary. And this is going to just, like Sharika said before, you're echoing back into your dream state as of your awake state. The moment that you're creating a dream diary, the fact that you're saying, "I want to recall my dreams," your dreams itself may become more of a memorable moment the moment you wake up because of this first thought. And before you go to bed, you want to always have that thought that you want to recall your dreams. If you understand the definition of lucid dreaming, you can even say, "I want to have a lucid dream." And the more you get better at practicing these concepts and creating or absorbing those ideas before going to bed, you're that more awake and aware within your dreams. So it's a practice. You just don't just say, "I'm going to do it," and that's it. It's like exercising. Let's say I'm going to lose 10 pounds and go to the gym for one day. This is an ongoing practice, and it works.
You're teasing me, man. Don't be telling my business. Yeah. I'm the king of the two-day workout, and I'm here to tell you it does not work. It don't work. Yeah, and you're right, and I agree with you 100%. Because I went from not having dreams at all whatsoever, like I would have swore on a stack of 10 Bibles and the Quran and some comic books that I never dreamed. And now I know, I not only know that I dream, but I know what I dream about, and it makes sense. I can connect it to things that happen in my waking life, which is super freaked out.
Nice.
But it all started with, you know, just saying, okay, when I first wake up, I got my pen and pad right there. I'm going to write down what I remember. And over time, you remember more and more. It's freaky. It's cool.
Yeah.
We got callers that want to ask comments and questions. If you guys
okay.
are down with
go
that.
Ahead.
You down with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Point go. Let's see. We're going to get a quickie caller. And if you are listening right now and you want to talk or ask a question, make a comment, then the call-in number is 424-258-9300. And when you call, then you got to push this button on your phone. It's called 1. You push 1, and then my indicator will blink, and it'll tell me that you want to play. So here we go. We got a caller, and they are from 801 area code. What's up? What's your name?
Hi, my name's Patricia.
Patricia.
Hey, Patricia.
Hey, Patricia. Okay, I just had a comment about dreams. One thing about me when I dream is every night before I go to bed, I will remember my dream from the night before. So I do this every night almost.
Oh, wow. That is a great technique. Yeah, I would never have thought about that.
I don't know.
So when you dream, do you feel like your dreams are more of your subconscious basically taking in all the information for the day or from your entire life and helping you configure it and categorize it and give you answers to a lot of those, you know, doubts and questions you may have? Or is it more traveling and imaginative?
I think it's more about my life. And
okay.
Like when I wake up, I have a dream app on my phone, so the first thing I do if I remember
there is an
I'll
app
look
for
up
this.
On the, yeah, I'll look up on the dream app and then I'll try to figure it out myself.
Oh, okay. Patricia, thank you. You have helped me because I'm going to use that. I'm going to look for the app too.
Patricia had a question also.
I did have a question. So I was wondering if you knew about like sleep paralysis, where you feel like, you know, you're stuck in bed. That will happen to me sometimes, and I'll feel like I'm actually crawling out of my bed and I can't move, and it feels like I'm awake, but I'm not, but I'm really asleep.
Mm. Yeah, you're talking to the king and queen of sleep paralysis.
Yes.
we have it almost not every single day, because it seems like I go years without having it, and then it just happens out of nowhere. The research that I've done on it, it has been stated that you are experiencing a fall back into your own conscious awareness, that your spirit or your soul, however you want to explain it, if you use the religious context of it, it's going into a higher dimension of awareness in your sleep state. Your body itself is more of a time lock. It puts your perception into your current time stream. But once you sleep, you disconnect from that time stream, you're able to do whatever else the soul is desiring to learn. And the moment you have sleep paralysis is the moment when you somehow get triggered back into your real world. Your body gets some form of alarm or alert to say that I need to wake up or I need to move, or it could be a chemical reaction from food you're eating or a spirit that's interacting with you that should not be, or it was not, you know, in a sense, requested, that it shakes your soul back to your body. And when that happens, your body does a lot of different things that you're not aware of, because you slowly get back into a process of waking up, that you're just jumping into this waking up moment because of this, I won't call it fight or flight, but you just, because of whatever warnings you got triggered by your body, you just jump right back into it. Your body needs to basically reconfigure its connections again and has to get its mobility back, has to basically get back its, what I consider to be, perception of what's happening, because you feel lost when you get back into that, out of that sleep paralysis. The only thing that really truly works is your eyes. When you're in sleep paralysis, the only thing that really works is your eyes. You can see. And sometimes you see better in the dark when you go through a sleep paralysis than you do when you just awake in the dark. Now, I don't understand that concept, but that happens. But that sensation of feeling like you have somebody sitting on your chest, or feeling like you're being choked, or feeling like there's a fear, something is endangering you in the room, that's all your mechanisms of your body and your brain just coming back into play. And a lot of, you know, misconceptions have been shared throughout history about it being a hag riding you or a witch riding you. And that's been explained. It's your heart and your lungs and everything, because you don't usually feel your heart beating or feel your lungs moving. All those sensations you feel in that second that your brain is activating awareness again. But it then knows to not allow you to be aware of those things when you snap back into reality.
Wow. So in other words, you're crazy. No, that's not what he said, but that is not what he said. So it sounds like you're saying that, you know, your spirit dude jumps out of your meat sack, I mean your skin bag, space suit, and goes and has fun and stuff, and then something happens, you got to hurry up and get back in, and it's not done plugging in everything yet. So you're sitting there waiting on everything to get hooked up. Is that like
that
the most
the
ridiculous?
Best way of explaining it. What I said in those 5 minutes of babbling, you said it right there. Yes.
No, no. Hey, if everybody had to learn based on me, we would all be simpletons. But that's what I got out of it. You know, I have to make it real simple. So, Patricia, you've been jumping out of your bag, and you just, you, I don't know what to tell you, you know. Keep your seatbelt on.
Right.
We appreciate
you. Letting me call in. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
That's Patricia. A very extraordinary, extrasensory perception to even feel that coming back. So many people just wake up the next morning when the sunlight cracks through the window. And when you're connected to your body and you're connected to your spirit, you kind of feel that reconnection happen. And it kind of feels like Groundhog Day. Sometimes, you know how he kept waking up the same day over and over? I've had a time where I'm laying in bed and I can't move. And I'll wake up in my sleep and wake up to the same thing again and cannot move. And on the third time, I can wake up and move my body. It's sort of like your mind is like reloading and connecting back because you've traveled really far or very deep. I'm not sure the linear process behind it, but to actually experience the connection, it you're really connected to yourself.
That is so that is basically, like, I'm sitting here thinking I wouldn't want that to happen to me, but it's a sign of something higher level. So I guess if I keep working on me, then I might be able to experience the wonderful world of being in sleep paralysis. Thanks. I don't know. It's not that attractive. Not that attractive. It's not that attractive. We have another caller. You guys ready to try again?
Yep.
All righty. We're going to take a call all the way from, I really see the caller. I'm just looking for some cool sound effect. Since we're talking about like things like sleep paralysis, let me see if I have a really cool sound effect that will go with that, and I don't, so forget about it. I'll just do this. We have a caller calling from 404 with a lot of noise. What's going on?
Oh, hi. I'm actually sitting outside.
Hey.
Is it too loud?
No, it's perfect. Are you, and when you say
Yay.
Sitting outside, are you sitting outside your body or your house?
No, I'm inside my body. I actually, I just put my tent up under the moon and I'm ready to sleep outside like I always do when I feel like being outside.
All right, we have our first homeless
other than
caller.
Outside of my body. Whatever. Okay, so my question is,
what's your name?
My
is?
Question is, my name is Julia.
Julia,
I'm calling
how are you
from
doing
Atlanta.
Tonight?
I'm great. I've absolutely enjoyed everything that you all have said, and it's I was sending Drew messages on Facebook because it's incredible. I had some really crazy dreams last night. Today is marks the 6th anniversary of my mother passing, and I made it a point to stay up until 4:47 when she passed, and I stood outside, and I was under the moon, and I took a picture of the moon, and, you know, I feel really connected to my mom. I actually just released her ashes on her birthday in June, and felt like I was okay, but today I woke up, I didn't go to sleep until the sun was coming up, and I woke up around noon, and really felt disconnected from really wanted to go out and go to work, and I just felt like I needed to be at home. I had some crazy dreams that people would think are crazy, but listening to the show has really kind of brought stuff into perspective. I have very lucid dreams as well, and I've just recently, over the past year, really gotten in touch with what these dreams are and what they mean. I probably don't write them down as much as I should, but I do go online and analyze them, especially when my dreams involve animals. And I've had dreams with where I've walked up on a male lion and a female lion and walked away from it. I've had dreams, several dreams about lions and hyenas. And I actually had one today about hyenas. I have two little kittens in the house that are sisters, and they're really cool. when they're really crazy.
So,
but one of them crept into my dream. Huh?
Yeah, before we get to the question, what is your interpretation? Because you said that you're understanding your dreams now. So what do you feel is these dreams telling you?
Well, I often go and look at what the meanings of the animals present in my dream is. And, you know, sometimes my interpretation this morning was that I confronted something that is threatening to take something away from me. And I really believe it's my joy and my peace of mind. And I think that it was symbolic, you know, with today being the day that my mom passed, is that I, even though my body really didn't feel like going and being the positive being of light that I am at my job, and I really just wanted to be home and be my own positive light. But in my dream, I confronted this hyena and told this hyena that absolutely no, you cannot have what you came for. And I just remember waking up as it turned its face from me and dropped its shoulders and started walking away from me.
And
wow. Then I woke up.
Wow.
And that was the first dream. And then I was up for a couple of hours.
So, wait a minute, let me ask a question before you go to the second dream, because the first dream kind of got me. So, what does all that mean? So, you confronted something, this was a symbolic confrontation where you claimed some victory over something that was holding you back, or you're dating some hyenas and you're trying to get a divorce. I mean, what's really going on here? Just playing?
No. Well, I mean, I guess that's what my question is. You know, my interpretation is that I refuse to let any sadness take what joy that I do have in my life away from me, you know, because I am a really positive person. I get up and I'm just grateful to have breath in my body. And, you know, I feel like when I wake up, if I wake up and I'm fortunate enough to have breath in my body, then the rest of it is up to me. You know, I've never had a bad day in my life. I've had bad moments, but I've never had whole bad days. You know, and that's my
like
outlook
that.
On life.
So, I have a question about this whole dream sequence, because I've heard like lots of weird dreams, and not saying that this one is weird, but is there something special when you start dreaming about animals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Animals are considered to be, you know, the connection to nature, the part of our own soul that we have disconnected from. The lion is a very powerful image. There's nothing threatening at all about the lion. The lion, if you perceive it correct, it doesn't live in the jungle. It lives, you know, in areas where there's water and desert most of the times, but a forest. But the lion itself is the king of this location. It is the one that leads the pack. It's a very spiritual symbolism. It could be represented as Jesus or as God in a lot of Catholic and Christian beliefs. So you had a very powerful symbol, and for it to be on the day of your mother's passing, it seems to me that you are just connecting on a spiritual level to get more healing, because we never truly move on from something traumatic as losing the physical bond that we once had. You always have that spiritual bond, which is the greatest of the bonds regardless. But, you know, you sometimes yearn for that embrace or yearn for that voice and the idea that you visited this powerful symbolism. I think that, to me, it's more about trying to find your own interpretation to it, but I can kind of guide you to let you know that is a very powerful symbol that you have had.
Well, thank you. Let me also say this. At 4:47, I was sitting in front of my computer. I turned all the lights off, and I took both of my hands, and I placed them over my heart, and I channeled my mom. And I really, really, really felt her presence.
We didn't exchange any words. You're not a channeler, but you channel
You know, I think that all of us have that ability.
Are you
connected to that ability? Are you able to tap into that ability? You know, I don't do it all the time. There are a lot of things that, you know, are really, really new to me. And, you know, I'm learning on a daily basis, you know, but nothing scares me. And I'm really excited about it. And, you know, I have friends that, you know, like listening to you all, I have friends that, you know, are on the same level that, you know, keep me on a guided path to make sure that I'm not misinterpreting what I'm hearing and what I'm learning and what I'm feeling, because I know that this is the beauty of all of the pain and all of the sadness and all of the mishaps and all of the things and the good things and all of that that have led me to this point in my life, you know, so.
Well, Lady of Light is a better interpreter of dreams. What do you think about this?
The dream moved me, but the fact that you have an awesome, beautiful energy to you, period. Your whole outlook.
Oh, thank you.
Your whole outlook, like, it sends shivers down my spine. Like, I have.
Me too.
I have a saying, like, I even taught my children, you know, it goes along with our prayers. It's like, you know, I am fully aware of myself, and there's nothing, anything, any energy, any spirit can do to stop me. You have such an empowering presence and spirit to you, and I think that's how you were able to confront hyenas, lions, jaguars, whatever it is, because you don't, you know that if anything comes your way, that you're fully aware of your capabilities, your strength, your power. And that's what more people need to tap into themselves, to find that self-awareness and different synchronicities, like how that dream corresponded with the confrontation of maybe, you know, releasing bits and pieces of pain. But then that joy comes when you open your heart to that connection. And that's just an awesome, awesome experience.
Well, that was beautiful. That absolutely sent. I felt it from my crown chakra all the way down when you said that.
Wow.
And thank you very much. Wow. That was beautiful. Thank you. And likewise.
Well, I'm happy. I wanted to throw one of my dreams out there, but what I want to know, because that's not what we're here for. I want to thank you, Miss Julia, for coming in and stirring it up. You made it.
I appreciate
really
Julia, I'm hoping to hear from you again, because we would be doing more shows and we need your energy. So please always call
Yeah,
me.
Well, definitely. Well, Drew and I, I'm working. You know, I'm working on some stuff. You know, I've been through hell and back in my life, and I am a walking testimony of, you know, it. And you said it earlier. You know, it's not what happens to us in our life; it's how we embrace it. You know,
yes.
and things happen to us, and they don't define us. We define ourselves. And, you know, I'm working on, you know, starting some really, really powerful work in the community, helping women who are, you know, facing some pretty difficult things and times in their life. And, you know, I just want to stay on this path. And I know that the time is now. So I am honored that you would ask me that. And I absolutely will oblige. So just let me know.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's Patricia. I mean, that's not Patricia. That's Julia. So
that's
Julia. We appreciate you. Patricia, we appreciate her too. I think we went over. So it's time for a commercial so we can review whether or not we're going to go a little bit longer or we're going to call it a night. We know you like the show. We know you do. Send money. Send money. We need your money. Actually, we don't. We don't, but
that's
we won't send it back.
That's paid by the advertisers, not
yeah.
people.
Yeah. People are, hey, we're all one. We're all connected. You're an advertiser. So here's a commercial. We'll be right back.
Sunday Nights Live. DP Radio presents Super Sunday. Sam Rucker and D. McGee. Tune in and get turned on to lively conversation, hot topics, and intellectual mind expansion. Like that phrase? Me too. Anyway, I'm your host, Drew Pillow, and I'll be in attendance, and hopefully you will be too.
Boy, these commercials are something else. They have a mind of their own. Well, and that would make one of us, because I don't have a mind at all, but I really don't mind that we are going all the way the distance tonight. We're going into the 2-hour slot, so you guys are fortunate to be with us as we embark upon hour two, and it's going to be better than hour one. You know why? Because I said so.
And so now we get these animal dreams. So if I go to sleep tonight and I dream about animals, or if I have this audible, all this is higher level stuff, right? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It can be higher or lower. It depends on how you perceive the yin yang of energies. That's another concept, but it can be either or, and all of it is beneficial if you are able to interpret it the correct way and use it as a tool for your well-being.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how closely associated, because this is all, I want to ask this question, and I'll turn this back to the original direction, but how closely associated is this with meditation, having these, like, you sit down and you meditate, and then your mind just goes into this, like, really cool place, you know, like, I went to this place, I started in this field and stuff, and the next thing you know, I'm walking through the forest, and there's the owl looking at me, and then there's the lion, and then me and him are talking, and then I'm him, and then I jump up and start flying, I become the eagle. How closely is the symbolism in these meditation states to the dream states? Is this connected? Is this different?
Oh, yes. They are very connected, if not one and the same, because meditation is pretty much you are conscious of your awake state. You have to discipline yourself to sit up still, whatever position you decide to meditating, lying down. You're not falling to sleep, but you are tapping into that unconscious side of yourself, and it's traveling that way. Sleep time is, you know, you shut everything down, you relax, you lie down, and you know that you will wake up in a few hours, you know, revived and refreshed. Meditation does that for you as well. But with the symbolism, I think they're kind of like an unspoken language. You know, we might not all speak
universal.
Very
yeah, universal.
There you go. Very universal. That's what I'm saying. That, you know, you see a lion, it represents strength. You see an eagle soaring, that represents, you know, undefining boundaries and taking flight and flying over obstacles. Like these things, when you see animals, they give you a sense of what they mean. And when you dream about certain animals, insects, they give you a depiction of something in your life, and it applies to an area in your life that, you know, it can help you out or bring awareness to it. Meditation and sleep, they kind of go hand in hand.
I mean,
so
science has already proved that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's all connected. I didn't know, but we know now.
Oh.
And it has meaning. And if you don't think you dream, you can take steps to be able to remember, help yourself to remember the dream. It's a process. Everything doesn't happen yesterday. This is not really a microwave existence. It might be a microwave world. But now all this comes together to paint this big picture of we don't actually have to be a product of our environment and the illusion of instincts. Because you think instincts is something that was born in you and you gotta just be stuck there. But that's not true, because we are the masters of our destiny, the captains of our flesh ships, and we can take control. So what are some of the things? Let's talk about some of the ways that we can control, if you guys don't mind me pointing us in that direction.
I can ask, because this is still on point with the topic. The unknown that causes the fear. Control is only what you can do with your own hands. I have heard this saying before, I think with Adam Clayton Powell, that says, it is in your hands, young man. No, you are the creator of your reality. Your hands can be a weapon, or it can be a hug, or it can do so much. And what I try to explain for my own life is that I've been through my own trials and tribulations. We all have. It's those trials and tribulations that should be binding us. The idea that I myself went through a certain pain, I do not wish that pain on no one else. So I should be more open to somebody to help heal them, not more towards taking my pains and you know, just projecting it on them, because that misery wants company. That is no longer needed in this current cycle of humanity's existence. We all feel it. We all sense it. We all know something's changed. After 9/11, that big distraction to keep the fear alive, it's not working. None of it is working. One of our previous shows, we had a caller call in to tell us that our concepts and our message is definitely bad for business.
because business has always been grounded by some very negative deeds and doings, from drug trades to slave trades to war. None of that works in our current existence. So we need to now broadcast this message so that people know that we are going to overcome those pains, that past. We're going to overcome it, and we're going to do it together. So control means finding out what fears you, confronting it, and then redefining, reexamining, and letting go. Forgiveness and unconditional love is the only two tools that the spirit has. It's in both of your hands. You can wield it. That hate, that fear, that's all the illusion. Those are tools that once you realize they're not real, does not impact you. They can't hurt you. Unconditional love and forgiveness. Those are only two true tools that you can ever wield at someone else. And they will feel those regardless if they want to or not.
Okay, so unconditional love and forgiveness. Lady of Light, got anything to add to that?
Yes, I agree 100% with what he just said about the unconditional love and the control about being it in your hands and just being, I love to stay fully aware of yourself. There's so many different things that we don't give ourselves credit for. Or, you know, we doubt ourselves day in and day out. Oh, I can do it. Or, you know, I'm not sure if I can do that. We need to let go of those negative thought patterns.
I have to say one thing. There's a lot of noise. Is that from my phone or?
Oh, sorry about that. I think that was
Oh, that would be Drew. Okay.
That was the program trying to block this information. So.
Okay.
We succeeded in overcoming it, though. Cool.
I'm sorry, Lady of Light. You can continue.
Oh, no, you're good. Letting go of these negative thought patterns that we don't have control over our lives, that we're losing control and we don't understand what's going on. The fact that we can let go of that control, and I know it sounds weird, but when you have something you're going through, sometimes letting go of the fact that you need to know every step in detail, you let that go and let it ride and ride the wave of what you're going through in your day. You know, if there's an experience, oh, come on, guys, let's go this way. You know, you're not sure you have your own plans or whatever. Sometimes seeing things through and experiencing new things benefits you. And then if there's areas in your life that you don't have control over, someone's dictating or there's just patterns that no longer serve you, you might want to take the reins and, you know, take control of that with your dream states or meditative states or any types of states where you're unfamiliar with surroundings, unfamiliar with sounds and sensations. Having control over that works for you when you're maneuvering through these dreamscapes or these meditative scapes, and sometimes allowing things to just finish off, like maybe how I wake from some dreams or shake myself awake because I don't really want to know what happens at the end. Sometimes you should allow yourself to just see it through and learn the lesson. I don't know if that kind of plays back and forth on lack of control and letting go of control and having control, but you got to see what works for you at that given moment.
There's a lot of processing that goes into being able to get to that point.
Yeah.
A lot of people need to realize these important benefits to eating right, important benefits to thinking correct, meaning having better affirmations for yourself when you wake up in the morning, saying some positive things and setting some positive goals. And the other key point is to basically express your feelings. A lot of people go through life just suppressing and repressing so much. You live in a state, you know, we live in a country called America that labels so many things as taboo that we go through life just so insufficient. We don't express anything because we feel we'll be judged, or we can't say what we want to say because we feel that we're being censored or we need to be politically correct. And a lot of that builds that anxiety. So we don't have control. We are out of control. And it's weird because the system is about control, but it creates this out-of-controlness in us. And I just want people to find their boundaries and basically try to say, I'm going to step beyond this. Whatever fears me, whatever created this line, I need to find out why it's doing so. And like you said before, Drew, we have this in the child. This child basically grows through development stages throughout our entire life. And if we skipped one of those stages in our life, no matter what number you may be on your birth certificate, how old you are, that skipping of that developmental stage in life, you're still that same age as that child until you learn that lesson and be able to overcome that lesson. There's a lot of 60-year-old children out there that's very insecure and afraid because they never learned how to embrace those fears.
So it sounds like it's like being self-aware. Here I go with my patented, see if I can keep up with you guys. So be self-aware, aware of what you are afraid of, and then have a seat and, you know, sit down and kick it with your fears. Because sometimes running away from it just keeps it strong, but when you turn and look at it, you realize it ain't even all that. So face your fears, and you can conquer them. Be mindful of what you're thinking, what you're saying. Give yourself some, you know, we have to kind of counteract some of this programming because there's been a lot of negative programming our whole lives, a lot of limiting programs that have taught us to be limited and fearful and politically correct, fear of not being politically correct. And we have to talk to ourselves and tell ourselves that it's okay. It's okay. I can do what I want to do. I can express myself today. And we also need to be paying attention to our dreams. Learn how to write it down in the morning and take these little steps. See other people as, you know, part of one big whole. This is one family. You know, you don't have, well, you do, but it's not appropriate. You have family reunion. You don't put, like, certain people over there and say we don't love them. But we're supposed to love all of the family. And we might not like them all the time, but we don't turn our backs on family. And the whole planet is our family. So let's love everybody like we're all family. And let's stop using these adjectives that separate us. Like, oh, I'm black. How about I'm human? But I can't help but, you know, I can't help but be a little separate because I'm pretty human. I'm a pretty human. And if you ain't pretty, you better tell yourself that you are. But it's okay. It's okay. Pretty, as a pretty human, I accept you as you are. So let me look at the clocker and see where we are with the clock. We still have a half an hour. So change direction or enhance the direction. It's on you, Lady of Light.
Oh, it's on me? Okay.
Why not? You're pretty human. It's okay.
Let's see. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it because we talked about, you know, we're talking about the baby steps. We got Joe Average tuning in for the first time. This is also intriguing, and they're interested in trying it out, and they want to actually really arrive at the place that you guys are or what you represent because nobody's perfect. But they want to get there, and they want to know what they can go home and do, you know, what practical things can they do to, you know, get on your level or get on a higher level. And so we are trying to break it down for them, and maybe you guys have some ABCs and 1-2-3s.
You work on yourself.
Yeah, work on yourself. Positive affirmations. You can go online and look up some positive affirmations, ways that you can change your thought pattern. Repeating, repetitiveness, like, you know, getting up, making a pattern of writing your dreams down, waking up, making a pattern of trying to recall your dreams, and same goes for with thinking. The affirmations kind of help you echo back to yourself, repeat things over and over, like, you know, anything not for my highest good, I release and let go of it, and I command it to release and let go of me, certain things like that, and you can confront things in your day, like, you know what, that's not for my highest good, so it's not going to cost nothing for me to not, you know, pay attention to that or ignore that, you know, a conversation that revolves around negativity or drama, you know, you minus that out of your life. You know, you don't have to be in the know of what drama filled. You know how you can walk away from that or maybe turn that conversation into a positive conversation, learn how to change the tune. Yeah, change the tune of the conversation. So affirmations work. I can suggest that.
How about listening to all this booty do music? Is that a plus or a minus, or does that have no effect at all? And by booty do,
that has a huge effect.
Yeah,
it has a huge effect. The best way, because that's a whole nother show if you ever want to get into that. Because I try not to feed into the whole negativity of what the system is doing to us. But the system itself, I'm getting like a real bad feedback on my end too.
I got it corrected. I heard it.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I killed it.
So the thing that's bothering me with society is the fact that our children are being raised by TV and technology. The parents have been so overwhelmed with paying bills and getting out of debt that they have to take extra hours or work extra jobs. So they're not home. So the kids are handed to the school system, or they hand it to the TV, or they hand it to the iPads and cell phones. So if you leave children unmonitored, it's like saying devil hands, or enough, either hands leave the devil devil's playground. These kids are being fed the wrong messages because the media is designed to profit off of products. So it's not caring about your child. It's caring about its bottom line. Its bottom line is it wants profits. They have studied humanity. They have studied our way of thinking, and they realize that there's three triggers: colors, words, and sex. Sex, sex, sex. Sells. Sex, unfortunately, if you want to measure it on a spiritual level, is one of our lower energies. It's one of our lowest energies. Creation, meaning that producing a life, is one of our higher energies. So we are not teaching children how to become responsible adults and how to become a responsible parent. We're teaching them how just to have sex, and we do it through marketing. And these commercials and these video games and these movies, they are feeding these messages into our children, and we are seeing the effects of it. Our children are more grown than they've ever been before. They know more than we should know. And that takes away the childhood, which is one of those crucial developmental steps that an adult needs to be able to be a more complete adult. And if we don't have our children stay children for that time period of being a child, what type of adults are we creating for the next generation?
Wow. Yeah, we already know the answer to that. We're creating little junior booty dudes. That's what it is. And they're everywhere. And some of them are not really nice. Lady of Light, do you agree that, like, the media intake, TV, radio, the movies, the magazines, the billboards that you just walk past, all this is having an effect?
Yes, it does. We are visual creatures, you know. We see, you know, we take it all in and then apply it to our mind later on in life. Have you ever been in the shower when you, like, start seeing a commercial? It's like, what the crap am I thinking about this right now? So you only have to see it once. You only have to hear it once. And you've already internalized it and banked it somewhere in your memory bank. The more we're bombarded with these constant distractions, you have this stockpile of nonsense. And the music and television and different shows that aren't teaching you anything of wealth, it kind of just bombards you and it's not good. And I turn it off. You know, I haven't listened to the radio in almost 3 years. I know I have Pandora, and I listen to, you know, some music, but, you know, it didn't sit right with me. And the more you become in tune with yourself, you'll start hearing lyrics and the vibration of some of these songs. You ever notice how these beats kind of drone the same way? They learn how to manipulate that and make the beat work for their game. But that's a whole nother show. But, the music and all that, it is not producing good fruit if that's all they're subjected to.
I can also give you this example. If you ever, this is something I've truly experienced. I went on roller skating about 2-3 weeks ago, and it was on a night that there was more children there than there were adults. So that was bad in its own right. But the roller skating rink had a DJ, and of course the DJ takes requests. These kids were no older than probably from 11 to 16 years old. The types of songs, now the songs were edited. They were not using the curse words. It was an edited version of that song. But the song itself was from artists that I disconnected myself from music, so I don't even know the name of these artists at all. But these artists no longer have a responsibility to their listeners. The songs they are singing, one of them were the most repeated word I ever heard in my life was Molly. I don't know who sung this song. I don't know Waka Flocka, somebody else. But this was the most hypnotic song I have witnessed and heard in my entire life. It said Molly, if not 50 times within the first minute of that song. And I watched all these little kids that skated past me, all their mouths synchronized, saying the same word, Molly, Molly. And it just broke my heart. It broke my heart because I know that this is about a drug, and I know what the drug does, and I know why the drug is being pushed. And these children are being used as catalysts for the next generation of bringing up the next drug users and drug abusers. And these children have so much untapped potential, and to just cut them off from potential, just to get them locked in to become a consumer, is this a heartbreaking, heart-wrenching moment. And I fear for this generation. This generation has so much more ability because they were raised and born in a time period of humanity that you can do so much more, that the old paradigms is attacking even more fierce than they've done in the past. And they're going to get even more fierce with what they need to do to keep these kids distracted. But I said all of that to say that we have to reach these children. We have to reach these children. We have to get back to become parents again. I'm not sure what that noise is.
Me neither.
Noise.
I think
it's
the Molly.
Yeah, the Molly. But I was saying that we have to get back to raising our children. We cannot accept the reality that we working 80 hours or working how many hours and the children are being left in the hands of people who are trained to keep them in the system or throwing them to the TVs and technology. The children is the future, and we truly need to believe that it does take a village to raise that child. We need to fix and clean up our villages. We need to clean up our communities. We need to clean up ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And sorry, that is some feedback on a second computer machine over here doing something weird. I don't know. Okay, got it together. So, let's see. Is that still doing a feedback thing?
Yeah, I'm hearing the clicking sounds.
Okay, let me. Somebody probably eating popcorn. I don't know what it is. But I'm gonna do this. Let's see if that helps. Does that help? Okay.
Sure.
So anyway. Okay. Well, I'm can only do so much, Captain. I'm trying to pilot this ship over here. I got like 3 computers on, and I'm just having a ball. So anyway, it sounds like what we are emphasizing is the reality. You know, reality check. There is a machine or a mechanism in place that is in constant motion, and it's all about keeping people misdirected. You know, and it doesn't matter if you turn off the TV or the radio because there's the advertising and the billboards, and then there's your peer pressure. Are you guys able to hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So it's social, it's media, it's a big machine, and it's working, and it's nonstop. And it seems, and it disguises itself in a lamb's clothing because it seems so innocent, but it's really not. And it is it's very persuasive and pervasive. So what that means is that the things that we are talking about doing today, we're discussing the different techniques to kind of, you know, move you into a better direction. This is of vital importance, and it's really important that you do it with consistency, because you already have a lifetime of misinformation programming to counteract, and then the machine has not stopped. Just because you decide to wake up, it doesn't mean that the machine is going to just stop now. It's still rolling. So you got to really continue to give yourself the affirmations and continue to take the steps so that this can become the new you. And not only for your sake, but, you know, Malik said that we have to rescue the children. Well, you can't save somebody if you're lost. So you need to really take these steps to wake up, find yourself, so that you can be a part of waking, you know, helping another generation wake up and find themselves. It's a big job we have on our hands, and thank goodness for people who come on the air, like Lady of Light, Malik, Star Child, who are willing to share some of the knowledge and the experience that they've gained in their awakening process. It's the wake-up time now. The alarm clock is ringing. It's time to wake up, and you have no more excuses. You can't even use an excuse while you sleep, because we got some mechanisms you can use while you're sleeping, too. Look at that.
Yep.
I love it. Yeah. So, let me see. Okay. So, anyway, still getting chats from people on Facebook. I want to invite you guys to join our chat room on the Blog Talk Radio website. It's always a lively place to be, but we can use one more voice. I haven't even been there for a while. I don't even know what's going on there. Oh, nothing. Ta-da. People came and left. I didn't even say hi. Sorry, y'all. Anyway, I wasn't paying attention. So this process, let's be honest, it's not the most comfortable. Right?
No, it's not. It makes you an outcast.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have peer pressure throughout your whole life. You don't just have peer pressure on the playground. You got it in the corporate office, in your workplace, at church. So it's like you kind of have to be sure with yourself on this flight. And when you across people, you kind of meet them where they are. Like, you have someone that's been meditating for 50 years versus the person that is day one, or you have someone that doesn't even know the concept of astral travel. You have to meet them where they are if they're willing to listen. You don't want to be, you know, out there thumping your beliefs and thoughts to people that don't have no interest in listening. You kind of, you're better off with people that kind of have their ear already open and you
can receive your message.
Huh?
Yeah, so they can receive your message, because you don't want to, like, it's energy. You don't want to focus your energy on somebody that's basically not wanting to listen. You know who you're talking to. You know what level of conversation you can have with certain people just on certain things. Like, you know, you're not going to go to your grandma and talk about your day in the club, your night in the club. So, like, right. Everybody that you know, you have levels of communication with. So you would know who it is that you can hold these type of conversations with. And you know who some people are that you can help plant the seed, so that later on in life they may come back to you again and say, you know what, you mentioned this back then. I lit this just now. Let's talk about it. So you just want to know, let people know that you are there for them. You're not judging them. You're not disconnecting yourself from them because you feel like you're on your high horse. You're trying to reach people. And reaching people means that your actions need to let them know that you're open and welcoming.
That's right. That's right. It's about attraction rather than promotion. Where did I hear that before? Mm. Yeah, but it's yeah, because people are on all walks of life, so you kind of got to be where you are and allow and be okay with people being where they are, because some people have been meditating for 50 years and some people have been medicating for 50 years, and it's no judgment. It's just people are where they are. You know, you had to wake up, so give people, allow them their process. I think it's important, you know, like, when you, like Neo unplugging from the Matrix, it was a shock, you know, to realize that when he first saw what the world really looked like, that had to be completely mind-blowing. And it's kind of the same, because when we look at the fact that we have to we have so much to do. The machine is so big and it's rolling nonstop, and it's finding new ways to continue to forward its agenda. It's like, wow, I had no idea. Okay, but now you also have to take into consideration that you have to have some real self-esteem. But you have to have some self-esteem. You cannot be a person that needs a lot of acceptance, because it will turn you into an outcast in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're one of those sensitive people that need a whole bunch of attaboys and backpats, it's going to be really difficult for you to walk to the beat of your own drummer. So be ready and seek out other people, because there are people who know exactly how you feel, and they are there to support you in this. And it's a higher road, and you feel really good about yourself knowing that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because I call Malik. I'm like, dude, I'm freaking out. And he's like, dude, don't freak out. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to freak out, and that's cool, and I feel better. You know, and it's like I don't have to pay him $100 an hour to do that. I can just freak out when I feel like freaking out. It's okay. So if you're freaking out and you want to be a part of this freaking out study group, you can hit me on freakingout.com, and it's okay. I'll be there to support you. You send me a message and the auto reply is, yeah, I know how you feel. And that's the end of it. We're all here together. So I enjoyed this show. We still have a few minutes left. So if you guys in the last 10 minutes, 9 minutes, 57 seconds, if you guys want to think about some closing remarks, send some shout-outs, you know, baby mamas you want to send a shout-out to, your girl at the club, or your friend. Wait a minute, this is the wrong show. But if you just want to say hi to somebody, you know, acknowledge somebody or say something that we didn't get to say, please feel free and ready to do that after I drop this one last hot commercial that I really love so much I had to play it twice. Check it out.
Tonight's show is brought to you by the Organization for Spiritually Underdeveloped Adults. If you're an adult and your spirituality is based on something that you learned in Sunday school at the age of 6, we think that you might want to take a moment to explore some new options and learn a little more. Your life is on the line. This is DP Radio.
Yeah, that's the commercial that says it all. So let's start in reverse order with me. I want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in tonight. Everybody's listening on blogtalkradio.com. I'd like to say hello to the time travelers, the people that are listening tomorrow and the next day. See, I'm there with you right now, even though I'm here today. Oh, what a concept. I want to say hi to everybody that's listening on your mobile devices. Download the app. If you got an iPhone, get iTunes, and you can download all the podcasts, and you can listen to it anytime you want to. But if you have an Android, you can get iTunes, you can get Stitcher, you can get the Blog Talk Radio app, and you can just push buttons and listen to all the different episodes whenever you want to. That's cool like that. If you're listening on Facebook, like them up, baby. And if you are listening on your telephone, you know, I hope your bill went up real high tonight. That's cool, because I don't have to pay it. Anyway, ladies second, because this is not a matriarchal society. So, Lady of Light, it's on you. Anything that you didn't get to cover, you want to sum up, shout out to you, word to you, whatever.
All right. This journey, this path that you're on, you might find yourself walking alone at some times, but you're never alone, because we're all connected. And you'll find so many different people. Age doesn't matter, gender, nationality doesn't matter. There's so many different people on the same path with you. So never judge a book by their cover. And they may speak another language or have a different concept, but just be open to trying to understand what they might be talking to you about. And Mother Teresa, there was a famous quote she made. She said something about, you know, we all have to confront our inner Hitler, that, you know, there might be prejudices that we have, but after you confront it, you just let it go, because it's not for your highest good. And anything that's not for your highest good, you release it and command it to let go of you. And peace and blessings all. Y'all have a good night.
Whoop, whoop. I got to drop the bomb on that, because that was awesome. Lady of Light, she's a bad Mother Teresa. Hey, I'm just using my words better. That's all. Malik, Star Child, the Star Seed. We've been taking this journey a long time, my brother, and I don't know how it started, But I'm glad that it did. I guess it was destined to, and it's been beautiful, and it's been enlightening to me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I don't know why I'm feeling real sentimental, like I want to thank you personally, but our relationship has grown a lot lately, and I just appreciate you a lot. I appreciate what you do, and I also appreciate who you are. So just want to say that to you in case I never did. And if I didn't, I'm saying it publicly now. So I'm a humble guy. Look how humble I am. Look at me. I'm humble. Yeah.
It's mutual respect, man. I love you as a brother. You have helped me find my voice and helped guide me to a better purpose, because I had a lot of doubt in myself, and you have seen something in me that I've kind of lost the sight for myself. So, you know, we helped each other, and that's what I'm trying to help other people do as well, helping each other. Sharika touched on so many things that I guess I don't need to repeat it. I can add to it. I can say that we have two conflicting lives. We have the life that we experience in our awake state. We also have our spiritual selves. Now, we have this inner voice that no one seems to be listening to anymore. Our inner voice was kind of smothered out by our higher ego. Though this purpose of us having identity, if we look in the mirror, what I see. And to describe myself and my ego, this is what I see when I'm in the mirror. I see a black male that lives in America that's not Christian-like, but believes in certain Christian, fundamental, beliefs. I'm not middle class, not poor, just barely making check by check. I am basically a brother, and I'm not a parent at this time, and I can go through all the labels. That's my ego. My ego is me identifying who I am, and that projects myself to what other people see. So that's ego, and that ego has taken precedent over our spiritual guidance. And so I try to get people to realize that that ego is fake. That ego was not who you were the day you were born. You were given everything that you think you are. It was handed to you. If you think you have a belief system and a religion, by all means, have it. If it's guiding you, if it's beneficial to you, use it. But just to wear a conscience, is that it's not who you are. You are who you are from the day you were born, before the day you were born. And you are who you are the day that you die and what happens after that day of death. That's who you are. Ego is something that we need to take control over. We need to verify and check and reexamine and basically let it go if necessary. Like this person here, this is not what I want to be. Let it go. Egos could be dumped. It's just like a bad program on a computer. Just click it, drag it, dump it, and start over. It's simple. You may not be able to start over your social security number and your name, but you know what I mean. The personality,
yeah.
Your beliefs, the way that you feel about another person. A lot of these things you can let go. And so taking that into consideration, that strengthens your spiritual connection, your spiritual bond again. Because if you solely think you are what you see in the mirror, you're not listening to your inner voice. So the mirror itself is a reflection, is not the true person. So I want to just really push that idea to people that the ego is not you. The ego is a form of communication. It is a form of perception. It's necessary. It needs to be there, but it doesn't have to be the exact image you currently have shaped. You can define it. You can reexamine it. And the spiritualness in you is truly who you are. And you need to find that bond again. You need to understand it. You need to embrace it. Because that's what we fear. We fear that part of us because we're not trained or we're not programmed or we're not given the information about it at all. It's just this void, this emptiness, this shadow that lurks there. We know it's there. We have this feeling it's there, but we don't know what it is. And I'm telling you right now, you have those answers. You just got to let go of a lot of the things that's preventing you from finding those answers.
Yeah, that was That was excellent. That was excellent. And you know what? What you could do is you could take that and you can play that back over and over again and just study the pieces of it and go and do research, because it's a really simple concept, but it's really complicated when you just have no points of reference. So get the basic understandings. So I say this a lot, you know, and it's something new, because I always thought I was the smartest guy on earth. But every now and then, you know, I talk to somebody and it's like, man, you got to study a lot just to know how deep this person is. These are some deep people, and I appreciate them trying to, like, simplify it, because these concepts are not, you know, something you just walk to Aldi's or a grocery store and you just pick it up for $1.99. It's not. This is a result of a lot of investigation and research and education and experience. So we're bringing it to you. We're giving you the PhD doctoral version, and I'm here to do the For Dummies asterisk, you know, a little preface to the book. So, but by all means, invest in you, get the proper information, and take some of these steps and practice it. And it is awkward in the beginning, but from my experience, once you get to this certain point, it just all starts working together. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. So get past the ugly stage, like when you're growing your hair and it gets that ugly stage, you got to keep holding on, because when it get that length, you're going to be like, girl, look at me. So anyway, I'm Drew Pillow. On behalf of Malik, Star Child, and Lady of Light, this show was awesome, and we are out of here as soon as I can find a little go-home music. Here it is. Peace.
DP Radio presents Coast to Coast PPE, starring Malik Starchild and the Lady of Light. This is the show that shines a light on the darkness in your life. We expand your understanding of all things paranormal and all things extraordinary. Hosted by Drew Pillow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.